Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what happened to some children late one night when they decided to have a sleepover in the family camper? Something that would haunt them for the rest of their lives.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is 855-853-4802 is our phone number here. Call in your real ghost story now.
Of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com to share your real ghost story with us that way. And if you like the show, you want to keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, an EPP, as we call them. You sign up to be an extra podcast person over at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus episodes, as well as advanced episodes of the program. It's all there for you, and it helps keep this show alive and on the air. It is the weekend edition of the program, the child-friendlier version of the show. We don't swear during the weekend versions, but I can tell you the stories are still pretty darn spooky.
Yeah.
So it's Tony and Harper joining you this fine day. How are you today, Harper?
Good.
This is the show that it's our first recording of Real Ghost Stories Online post-Halloween. For you and me. So, Halloween 2020, obviously a bit different than normal years for you. Thoughts?
Well, it was actually kind of shorter.
Shorter? How so?
Pretty much all we did was tell scary stories and do the show and then went to bed.
Yeah, that kind of is how the night went. But we kind of made it into a two-day thing. You know, the second day we did more stuff and watched some scary movie and made caramel corn and, you know, tried to have some more fun with it the best that we can during this time.
We didn't watch a scary movie. We did karaoke.
Oh, you're right. We did karaoke. Yes. Instead of a scary movie, because we were going to do a scary movie and then we decided to do a karaoke instead and we called it karaoke.
Yeah, because we couldn't decide what to watch.
Yeah. So we went down that road. But we had fun. We made it, you know, something different. There really is nothing that makes up for going door to door and saying trick or treat when you're a kid. It's a hard thing to replicate. I'll tell you that much, especially from a parent's perspective, because you know you've been there and what life is like without it and the years that you have to do it, how much you enjoy it. But, you know, we do our best to try and have some fun with it being the year it was. And maybe next year we'll be able to go back and enjoy the world of trick-or-treating. But we did enjoy going live and seeing that you had a great costume you got to show off. Everybody loved it. She was Lucy. If you want to see it, just look back on our Facebook page. Back to Halloween night, we did a live Facebook live broadcast that is will remain up there, taking your questions and such. And the girls were dressed up for Halloween. And I was a Kevin and Mom was a Karen.
So. And Livy was an angel.
And Livy was an angel.
And I was Lucy.
It was great. So go back and check that out if you're looking for something fun to watch for about an hour. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first story. It says, when I was younger, I lived in a troubled home in which I endured my fair share of abuse and misery. This is an especially important note. I was close to 7 years old, living in a trailer not too far from a small town. The town hosted a bar, a small shopping center, and a handful of mom-and-pop shops. It was quaint, quiet, and people enjoyed keeping to themselves. It was exceedingly rare to see someone involving themselves in anyone else's affairs. Even the small school hosted little in way of events. It was a peculiar thing that I never questioned too much. I did, however, make friends with a girl that lived a good 10 minutes away. She had a big house, and it was apparent she had money. Anytime I'd go over, I was absolutely spoiled. I spent a great deal of time away from my home and from the people that mistreated me because of this girl. I do believe her name was McKenna. One day, we had decided to stay out at, in her camper for the night since she had two other friends over. We had already had a very spooky incident that occurred any time I was over at her house. I'd be followed by a prayer rock. It did not matter where I went, where we locked it up, or how many times we got rid of it. At some point, we just got used to the stubborn thing showing up. We had just finished taking snacks out of the camper, me greeting the rock when I noticed it when I looked up to the tree-lined area to see a creature standing in the trees. Kind of just stood peering up, trying to figure out what it was. When I pointed it out to Em, she panicked and told me it was time we went inside for a bit. It was still early in the morning at this point. She suggested having breakfast. By the time we finished eating, all was forgotten, and we decided to go jump on our trampoline. We played for over an hour, sitting down on the stretchy fabric to take a break. I looked back up at the trees, and the thing stepped out. It resembled a dog, but was burnt and missing a leg and an eye. I freaked and bolted, not even grabbing my shoes. Em followed me, asking me, and we slammed her glass sliding door shut. You would assume this thing could not possibly be out in broad daylight, that it had to be a real animal. It was not. Em had a tale to tell. That forest had many wildfires. The dog we kept seeing was her German shepherd that she had named Sheep. The campfire, a campfire had gone astray one night and lit many dry trees on fire, killing acres of forest. Em had been at school when her parents got her to evacuate. When she asked her dad where she was, he said the dog had taken off and they could not find him. Later, they found his charred remains at least 20 yards from the edge of the forest. The zombie-like dog I saw was Shep. This did not make me happy. One of the people I lived with was very much into the occult and had made me uncomfortable with these things. I asked to leave, but Em begged that I stay, saying it could not hurt us and that it would be fine. I was a kid. Snacks, movies, and no adults were enough to lure me. Just as the sun began to set, Em, her two other friends, and I loaded into the camper for a night of fun. Again, I greeted the rock. Weird thing is, it was far closer to me than normal. I was already uneasy, but this did not help. I tried to ignore it and set it under a little pull-out bed as Em started the movie. About halfway through, I can hear footsteps outside of the camper, circling. It's then that I notice the rock is in my lap. Did I freak out? No. I sit stock still. Somehow, I feel something trying to calm me. We can't leave the camper, but we would be in danger if we did. The noises became louder as the minutes wore on. Scratching on the siding, whimpers, whines, the sound of a dog, one that desperately wants in. The other girls are aware at this point. They are as scared, if not more scared, than I am. The scratches turn to thuds. The thuds rock the small camper, bend in weak siding. One of the girls starts crying. None of us have phones, and I start singing Amazing Grace. My stepmom taught me that song and sang it to me to comfort me. I knew it would help me stay calm. The louder and more aggressive the knocks and rocking became, the louder I sang. The other girls picked up the lyrics and joined me. Suddenly, the lights in the house come on, and the stepdad walks outside, a gun in his hand. He runs down to the camper, opens the door to find us all huddled around a weird prayer rock, several of us crying and singing a song at the top of our lungs. At the sight of him, we shove past each other to escape. To this day, I have the prayer rock and say hi to it when it moves. I'm sure it keeps us safe that night. If there's anything to remember, that dark things can lurk in daylight.
What exactly is a prayer rock?
That's a good question, because that's not a term that I really knew. A prayer rock. The idea is simple. You place a little rock on your pillow each morning so that when you go to bed that night, you remember to say your prayers. So it's like a little rock that has like kind of the start of a prayer or something on it, or who you're wanting to pray for. And this one, whenever she'd go to this house, seemed to just show up everywhere that she was, which was bizarre in itself.
So it's a moving prayer rock.
It's a rock. It should not be able to move by itself.
Have you ever heard of the moving rocks? Because there's actually something. If you look it up, like the moving rocks of Dead Valley.
The moving rocks of Death Valley?
Yep.
Oh, interesting.
Pull it up on this screen.
I'm looking at the pictures right over here. What is this?
They're moving rocks, and no one knows the cause. Some people say it's high winds, but if it were to be, that wouldn't be, like, loops, and it's going to go, like, left, and then right, and then straight.
I have never heard of this, Harper. This is really interesting. But there are these rocks that move around Death Valley, and they try to figure out what's going on. Researchers have investigated this question since the 1940s, but no one has ever seen the process in action until now. In a new paper published August 27th, PLOS-1, a team led by Scripps Institution of Oceanography in San Diego, report first-hand observations of the phenomena. Because the stones can sit for a decade or more without moving, the researchers did not only expect to see motion in person. Instead, they decided to monitor the rocks remotely by installing high-resolution weather stations capable of measuring gusts to 1-second intervals and fitting 15 rocks with custom-built motion-activated GPS units. Experiment was set up in winter of 2011.
Apparently, they move every, decade.
The observations show that the moving rocks require a rare combination of events. First, the playa fills with water. So the area that it is has to be filled with water, which must be deep enough to allow formation of floating ice during cold winter nights, but shallow enough to expose the rocks. As nighttime temperatures plummet, the pond freezes to form sheets of windowpane ice, which must be thin enough to move freely, but thick enough to maintain strength. On sunny days, the ice begins to melt and break up into large floating panels, which light winds drive across the pool. The ice sheets shove the rocks in front of them, moving stones, leaving trails in the soft mud bed below the pool on the surface. So that's how they think those rocks move, is basically glorified, frozen dew, because it's not quite like a pond that's frozen, but there's enough moisture that's frozen that makes them slide in all of the right circumstances, which doesn't happen all that frequently. So that's very likely not what's happening here with this rock. This rock is being moved for some other reason in this story.
But yeah, it's still a weird phenomenon.
That one is a weird phenomenon, but completely disconnected from the story. So you have that. You have this dog that has passed away. Clearly passed away, not like, oh, he's missing, we don't know whatever happened to him. They found his body. So we know he's dead. And it seems the ghost of this dog still is out there. He's scary looking, but I feel like his intent is still to be a protective dog.
I think so too. But yeah, it is scary if you see this dog with a missing eye and a missing leg.
And he's charred. That would be scary to see, not even only as a kid, but anytime.
What does charred mean?
Burned. Like when if I burn a steak or something, and which I don't really ever do, but sometimes when I do like long term barbecue outside or something, and it gets like a blackness to it, that's charred. Or a log that's been on the fire outside for a long time that's just black on the outside, that's charred. So a dog, if it started on fire and it didn't get put out, it would have charred skin. So would anything, really. Anything can technically get charred. So just seeing something like that walking around that we know is dead, I think that surprisingly, I think, is easier to explain than the rock. It's the ghost of a pet. Why it's appearing that way, I don't know, but it seems to be still trying to do its duties. And that seems to be it. The rock moving and how that's connected, I don't know if that's really just something that's kind of happening you know, almost like a cohabitation haunt, two totally different things haunting at the same time that seem to be following each other around. I don't know, but it was definitely a creepy story either way. 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. Call them in 24/7. Let's jump over here to a phone call at 855-853-4802. Hi.
Hi, my name is Chastity, and I have a few stories that have happened to me that I'd like to talk to you guys about. One of the most recent stories happened with when a friend of mine passed away back in May of this year. We had a really very, very deep connection, and 2 weeks before he died, I started getting nauseous, and there was really no explanation for it. Like, nothing had changed, you know, no changes in diet or, you know, stress or anything like that. So I started getting nauseous 2 weeks before he died, and then I noticed right around 4 o'clock the nausea just lifted. And then about half an hour later, I got a call from another friend of his that, and she said that, you know, she said, "Did you hear the news about him?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Oh," she goes, "Ooh," like that. And she said, "He passed away today." And it shocked me. It really shocked me that I, had that happen, you know, that, intuition or telepathy, whatever you want to call it. Another thing that happened to me is I volunteer for hospice, and in 2012 I was sitting with a patient, and I'd been sitting with him for about six days for about 12 hours a day, because we were really close, and, you know, to make sure that they were taking care of them like they were supposed to. And Saturday evening, I told him, I said, "I'm leaving now," and I said, "I'll be back on Sunday." I said, "If you happen to want to go before then, it's okay, but," I said, "if you want me to be here, I'll be here on Sunday. I'll be here tomorrow night." And so I was there the next night, and he, I was there for maybe half an hour to 40 minutes, and I started noticing, I was holding his hand, and I started to notice, that my body was like just sitting up straighter and straighter in the chair. And then, I felt something kind of trail up my arm and push through my side and then push out through the middle of my body. And it took me a while to tell anyone that story, because I thought, "Oh, wow, this is just going to be the craziest thing ever. People are going to really think I'm far out there." And I was really just utterly shocked when I heard that it happens more often than you would think. I'm actually blind, and so I don't know if that has, you know, anything to do with the fact that I get, like, gut feelings about things, and I get, like, forewarned about things. For instance, when my grandpa passed away in 2003, he came to me in a dream, and it was the only dream I've ever had in my life where I was sighted. And I was driving a car, and I was driving down past all the old spots that we used to hang out at, the donut shop, the water plant where he worked, places like that. And then he said, "Pull into this parking lot over here in this building." And I parked, and we got out of the car, and he walked me to the door, and he said, "I'm gonna walk over to the other side of you now." And he walked over to the other side. He goes, "Okay, I'm leaving." And he goes, "Go into that building. They need to tell you something." And I walked into the building and went to the front desk and said, "I understand you have something to tell me." And I was escorted down this long hall that got darker and darker as I went down there. And I was escorted by two ladies, and they took a key and they unlocked this door, and we went in. One lady stood behind the desk, and one lady stood, like, really close to my face and shook her finger and said, "Something really bad is about to happen, and you need to be prepared." And I woke up, and I immediately said, you know, "My grandpa died. My grandpa died. I know he's gone." And everyone was like, "Oh, don't be silly. Don't be like that. He's not gone." I said, "He's gone. He's definitely gone." And then about an hour or two later, my aunt called me, which is his daughter. She called me, and I said, "I don't want to talk to her right now," because I just didn't want the final, the finality of it all. And she said, "It's an emergency. She needs to talk to me." And I finally did. She told me that he had died and to come to the hospital and, you know, everything. And, you know, that they were waiting for the family to come and say their goodbyes to the hospital. So it was really bizarre. Now, since my friend died in but there was a point that I wanted to make about that. He died on May 28th, and since then, the intuitive thing, I've had it so often. You know, it happened with my grandpa. It happened a couple times when I was going to go somewhere. I got a sick feeling not to go. And then as soon as I decided that I would, you know, follow that, you know, warning, the queasiness and nausea went away. So I don't know what that is. You know, it doesn't creep me out. I'm just so, I guess, blown away by it and just shocked by it, that it happens so often to me now that I'm like, wow, what am I supposed to do with this? You know, I'm 39 years old, and it's happened quite a bit. It's happened, I would say, about 7-8 times since 2003, I would say. So I don't know. It's really, all that stuff is so bizarre to me, how that happens. And you know, I just think that, I don't know. I want to know what your opinion is, both you and your wife's opinion on this matter, on all of the stuff that I just discussed. I apologize that I kind of went around things and just, you know, kind of backtracked and everything. But thank you for listening, and I hope to hear your opinion.
Well, you're not my wife, but thank God you're my daughter. It's a little creepy. What sort of opinions do you have on this?
Well, it never really told me what the friend died of. Like, mm-hmm. Was it like of old age, or what was it?
What was the cause?
Yeah.
You think that could play a role in its occurrence?
Yes.
Why? How so?
Like, he could have died from a sickness that gave her that weird feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So,
like an empathetic, like you're feeling the pain that someone else is going through.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And maybe there was something of that nature going on. It's hard to know. I mean, yeah, I mean, she did jump around quite a bit in the story in terms of where things were at. So it was kind of hard to track some. But I think that does play a key role sometimes in how people pass. I think you're onto something there in terms of what causes a haunting, why the haunting is going on. Are they aware that they're dead? Are they, you know, are they aware that they are there lurking around doing their things that they're doing? You know, and if so, what's the intent? There's a lot of things that come into play, but that was kind of a key part of that story we might be missing to get a better understanding and give more feedback on it.
Yeah, like if I could have that one simple reason, mm-hmm. I think I could have solved what was happening.
Solved, okay. Well, or at least given an opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't really solve anything because all of this is opinion. But we can put a lot of dots together and go, here's what the dots say, but you tell me what you think.
I think that if we were to get that answer, like how the friend died, mm-hmm. we would have been able to connect the dots more.
Yeah, I agree. Let's go to our next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony, Jenny, and Carol. I have a quick kind of feel-good ghost story. It's not too long. But anyway, back when I was about 14, I was at a friend's house. We were both sleeping in her queen-size bed. And the building she lived in wasn't creepy at all. It was a 1970s apartment building. She was on the second floor. Nothing creepy, scary about it at all. Anyway, one night we were in her bed, we were sleeping, and there was happened to be a walk-in closet at the foot of her bed, and something woke me. I'm not quite sure what it was, but as I awoke, there was a really beautiful kind of glow to the room, like a goldish white glow, not even a light. And then as my eyes made contact with the walk-in closet, I noticed there were people walking around in there, all kinds of people, you know, of modern day clothes to army uniforms, lots of Navy, Army. I even saw a guy in a Napoleon hat walking in there. And it wasn't like they were, you know, walking around in the closet. It was like as if there were no walls and they were walking in a New York crowded, you know, Times Square type thing. I can remember the clothes so vividly, but I cannot see faces. So anyway, from that closet emerged three people, a woman and two men, a bit older, and they came over to the bed. As they entered the room, actually, there was this beautiful, like, warm feeling. They were almost telepathically telling me, don't be scared, don't worry, and it felt really good. It was actually a really, really nice feeling. They came over to the bed, and they tucked in my friend, and the covers actually moved, and I could feel them move over me, even though I was a little terrified to look right at them. I could feel them, and they moved the covers over her, gave her a kiss, and hung around for a minute. Then after they did that, they went back into the closet, and after they got back in the closet, it was completely dark again, no light, no feeling, everything was back to normal. So that was kind of cool. And the next day I asked her about it, and she showed me a picture of her grandparents and her uncle, and I realized it was them, and even the same clothes and everything. It was really incredible. It's something I've never forgotten to this day. I think it's made me more sensitive just actually knowing that it's there. I feel like now I see things out of the corner of my eyes. I worked for a lot of musicians and in old theaters, and a lot of the times in the old dressing rooms, I know that there's someone there looking at me. Anyway, that's my story. I have a few more. I lived in a house in Hollywood built by Charlie Chaplin. We had a lot of things happen there, but I'll have to compile a story to put them all together and tell you because there's just too much to say. But I want to say thank you guys. You guys are awesome. Like I said, I work for musicians, and I was starstruck, actually, when Carol responded to a comment I made on her painting on Facebook. So there you go. Thanks, Tony. Hope you guys are great. And I am an EPP, and I love your show. Thank you so much. Bye.
Well, it seems like that they were just people coming in to say hi. We're just warm people and just want to be nice.
Just a feel-good one, like she said.
Yeah.
Where they were there and really kind of passers-by, not necessarily having a message or some sort of purpose that we're trying to interpret, but almost more so you're witnessing this is the other side.
Yeah, and it's not dark at all. It's like, these are the friendly ghosts.
They're just there. This is your Casper version of it.
Yeah.
As best as you could possibly have a Casper-like experience.
Yeah, it's like different versions in like three Caspers in one room.
There you go. That is going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP, as we call them. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's only $5 a month. Get access to all of our bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week, including our whole archive and just everything commercial free. So ebook, audiobook, it's on there as well. Sign up, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. For Harper and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.